Arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. These were comforting words to those who lived in the darkness of exile. And yet, the light of God has not come for the people of Israel alone. People of other nations, foreigners, outsiders, wayfarers, strangers will be drawn into the light. Arise, shine. These are not just words of consolation. This is a call to action, to take that light to others who live in darkness. The light of God's love is not for a chosen few. God's love is universal and all-encompassing. On this Epiphany Sunday, we celebrate that the light of God has come to us in the birth of Jesus the Christ. The star that the Magi follow points to God's light flooding the world anew, guiding, revealing, attracting others to live in its radiance. The angels proclaimed it in the fields around Bethlehem. This is news of great joy for all people. The light of Christ has come to draw others out of darkness into the light. Jesus told us, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine." It is the mission of the church to be that light. It is the particular mission of the deacon to shine that light in dark corners. In the examination of the deacon at the ordination service, the deacon is in charge with interpreting to the church the needs, concerns, and hopes of the world. And in so doing, the deacon shines a light on forgotten places and forgotten people, on places that we prefer to keep out of sight and out of mind, on the needs and concerns of the vulnerable, fragile, poor, weak, sick, and lonely others that Christ longs to draw into the light. It's true that the deacon has a role in worship, assisting priests and deacons. But I was not aware that since ancient times, the liturgical function of deacons has been likened to the activity of angels. According to the Episcopal Church Dictionary, as they proclaim the gospel, lead intercessions, wait at the Eucharistic table, and direct the order of the assembly, deacons act as sacred messengers, heralding the needs of the world to the church and heralding the gospel to the world. But work inside the walls of the church is not a deacon's primary calling. Their charge is this: at all times, your life and teaching are to show Christ's people that in serving the helpless, they are serving Christ himself. The deacon has one foot in the church and one foot firmly in the world. The deacon, your new deacon, will remind you that it is your call as the baptized to arise and shine. The darkened world desperately needs the light of God's love. At the deacon's retreat this year, I understand they named their group a disturbance of deacons. They chose this name because deacons are known for disturbing the status quo when it needs to be disturbed. And I find a parallel with some ancient disturbers, the Magi. Now, that was not their intention, but they definitely stirred things up when they appeared at the court of Herod, inquiring for the location of the child born King of the Jews. King of the Jews was the official title that Rome gave to Herod. I mean, to suggest that there was a contender was high treason. And the titles the angels gave to Jesus, Lord, Savior, these were titles reserved for the Emperor Caesar Augustus. Now, fortunately, the Magi didn't use those titles. These were learned men who searched for unusual astrological events, associated these celestial observations with special events like the birth of a king. And they had to have studied various prophecies to be aware that there was this ruler, this king, this Messiah predicted to come out of Israel. We don't know their exact origins, what religion they practiced, and yet these foreigners were the first to acknowledge Jesus as God's anointed king. And not only were they tracking this celestial event of the star, but they were determined to follow it. This meant leaving their own country, traveling maybe 1,000 miles, depending on where they started. It meant organizing a large caravan of servants and cooks and maybe an armed escort to protect the precious gifts that they were bringing. 3 men on a camel silhouetted against a desert sky. It's a lovely image for Christmas cards, but probably nothing like what it was to make that long journey. And in addition, it took perseverance. I mean, this was not a journey made quickly. It could have taken them as much as 2 years. And the star may not have been visible continuously. We're told that the star was seen at its rising, and then again after their visit to Herod. They didn't know the exact location of the child. They knew the prediction of a king of the Jews and a star in the sky. And the ancients understood the movement of the stars in the sky in a way that most of us do not. Stars that rise in the east move diagonally north to south, and then the star, same star, appears in the southern sky moving east to west. And stars that arise in a different part of the sky have their own unique patterns. They don't know where this star is going to lead them. So that journey took determination, perseverance, and tolerance for some ambiguity. When they arrive in Jerusalem, they're asking everyone they see, you know, everyone, where is this child? Surely that, you know, they assumed that everyone would know about so great an event. Herod hears about their questioning and calls the chief priests and scribes together to find out where the Messiah was to be born. This Messiah, this other king, was a threat to his rule, a contender for his throne. And we know that Herod was a violent man. The Jewish historian Josephus tells us that Herod murdered his wife, her brother and father, 3 of his own sons, and countless others. Next, Herod secretly calls for the Magi, feigns interest in the birth of this child. He wants to know the exact time the star appeared and wants them to let him know when they have found this child. He lies, saying he wants to pay homage to him also. And this is where the gift of discernment is called for on the part of the Magi. Evil disguises itself as good, and they must determine if they can trust him. Being warned in a dream, they go home by another way, and they do not return to Herod. So here we've just explored some traits needed by a deacon as they interpret for the church the needs, concerns, and hopes of the world. Determination, perseverance, a tolerance for ambiguity, discernment. If a deacon is faithfully following their call, they will be disturbing the status quo. They may not encounter a Herod, but the powers and principalities will not take kindly to their giving voice to the voiceless, the vulnerable, the poor, the marginalized. When a deacon shines the light of Christ on the conditions that the powers and principalities would prefer to keep hidden, there will be resistance. There will be risk. To make real change requires enormous amounts of determination. Societal problems are not simple. And to address them requires a kind of organization it takes to bring together parties with different competing agendas. It will take time, a long time, to bring about real and meaningful change or to create something that hasn't been created before. If a deacon is faithfully following their call, they will not be staying in the comfort of their home church. They will be going into the neighborhoods that most people avoid. They will be creating friendships across ethnic, national, religious, and political boundaries. It will take perseverance to earn and trust and build relationships and alliances. The path will not always be clear. They will need prayer and discernment and the willingness to wait and watch the signs of the times. The deacon will search for signs of God's presence and movement in unlikely persons and unlikely places. Ponder for a moment this one prayer from the Litany for Ordinations. for those who do not yet believe, and for those who have lost their faith, that they may receive the light of the gospel, we pray to you, O Lord. What does that mean in the context of the life of the deacon among us? At times, the light the deacon shines will be as brilliant as a spotlight, illuminating those needs of the world that we need to recognize. And at other times, the light will be as gentle as the light of a candle, inviting those who sit in darkness to be with it, to be encircled by the light of Christ and his love. And then again, it will burn strong and steady, enkindling faith that has grown cold. It will be a reminder to us that the light has already come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. That light will remind us to go out and shine the light of Christ like a beacon for the world. Arise, shine. Today, on this glorious Epiphany Sunday, you celebrate the ministry of Jackie Whitfield. She will invite you to follow stars, to go on journeys far beyond your comfort zones. You might want to tighten the reins on your camels. Oh, the places this church is going to go.